What up? What up, everybody? It's Double G for the Fight Game podcast. We are in the last week of April, and that means that spring is here. Double or Nothing is exactly a month and a day away. We have Backlash next week. We'll talk about the new championship Triple H created for the Night of Champions show in Saudi Arabia. Not going to give it away. It's either a thumbs up or a thumbs down for me. I won't give it completely away here, but people who know me probably understand which one it is. But John LaRocca, what is going on?
Not much. Getting ready for this weekend. What, 12-year wedding anniversary this weekend? So
congratulations. 12 years.
Yep, 12 years. So
wow. Yeah, amazing. So.
Looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to, well, you guys listen to this, will be Friday, so I'm looking forward to the weekend starting. So,
yeah, that's a great accomplishment for you and your wife and the three littles. Gosh, you guys have done a great job. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
All right, so what are we going to talk about here? So, obviously, the world of wrestling never stops. Last week, we talked about this possible meeting, or I don't even know if we really got into the meeting because it hadn't happened yet, but the idea that CM Punk was going to have his own show, Saturday night, Collision, a lot of the details are out there. I guess not until Tony Khan gives us a major announcement. It may not be yet verified, but you had made a note last week and you said, you know, I kind of hope CM Punk has some sort of booking capabilities for this new show. And I don't know if anything is changing on that end, but I did hear a rumor about that. Like maybe like there was something going on there. And I thought, did they just listen to our show last week? Like, where is this rumor coming from? Have you heard anything else about this?
No, I have not heard anything else about this, but I would hope so. You know, Tony has a lot of stuff going on, not just in wrestling itself, you know, in business and, you know, football, you know, soccer, etc. He's booking Dynamite, Rampage, Evolution, all those stuff, and Ray Warner. Yeah. I would think he'd be just smart to lean on someone, you know, with another show, another 2-hour show at that. And I think if it's going to be around, built around CM Punk, as what people are saying, it'd be smart to bounce ideas off of him. And what we've seen from CM Punk in AEW. Like I said before many times on the show, it's like his stuff was the best, in my opinion. Like his programs and stuff were more really compelling stuff.
Okay, so in the history of professional wrestling, when you have a top star be a part of the booking team, the main booker, we know Ric Flair was part of a booking committee. There is... you know, there can be problems with that, right? We know Hulk Hogan with his creative control, Bret Hart with his creative control. Punk obviously has a great wrestling mind, 100% for sure. But he's also the same guy who, you know, kind of took over a press conference, went into business for himself. Like, would you be worried? Like, we don't know if this is going to happen or not, but let's say you are Tony Khan and you're like, you know what? The Saturday show, I want it to be different from Dynamite. I want it to have a few more different influences. Maybe Jericho is going to be part of the show. Maybe he has some influence. But would you be afraid that CM Punk kind of lets the power go to his head and, you know, and things could possibly happen where the feedback back to Tony may not be so great?
I mean, unless hopefully he can set the rules like, hey, you know, you'll be booking just like Bill Watts did with Bill Dundee and, you know, Ernie Ladd and, you know, Buck Robley, like those guys, or, you know, Ken Mantell, or, you know, like, why, you know, why just they're booking, but he has the final say, or if something doesn't sound right, he'll change it. Right. So I think that's what he needs to do. But, you know, I think it's good to get a fresh perspective out there. Right. CM Punk might not be a good booker. He might be a good booker for himself, though.
Right. You know?
But maybe CM Punk, I don't mind the committee stuff if you get the right people, you know. You know, like Ric Flair, when he was the head booker in, like, 89, he had a committee of people he trusted. Jim Cornette,
And he was the champion.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, he was, at that time, he had to be the champion, right? You had, you know, Ric Flair. You had Kevin Sullivan. You had Jim Cornette. Terry Funk was on there. You know, Jim Herb would come in, cause chaos. So probably that's what Tony Khan's role would be now. But I'm just saying, like, you know, Ric Flair wasn't the guy, the details guy. But yeah, he knew that, right? He knew he wasn't the details guy. That's why he got a Cornette. That's why he got Kevin Sullivan to be those detailed guys. And I think Punk with and Tony Khan should find those detailed guys too, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that would work. But ultimately, Punk would kind of like just kind of maybe in charge of the tone itself of the show, you know? Like, because he can see what they do over there, obviously. So he can kind of say, we're going to do something different because you have to make it different, right? That's one of the reasons why Rampage is such a blah, because it's just another hour with less compelling people on the roster.
Yeah, yeah. And again, we don't know if this is what's going to happen. You had stated that last week on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw something somewhere where that could possibly happen, or there could be some changes, or there could be some influence. And I thought, wow, John was ahead of the game here. If that happens, we don't know if that's going to happen. But I just wanted to flesh that out a little bit because you said that last week. And I was like, that's kind of interesting. But then we just kind of moved on. So I'm glad we were able to flesh that out a little bit.
Maybe it's something that the Turner executive want too. Because they want him back, obviously. They know his value. They're paying him a lot of money. You know, Tony's paying him money. I think Turner has something involved in that too as well, of course. And they want, you know, so maybe there's a little bit of pressure on Tony himself to, you know, hey, give this guy a little more influence. Let's you know, we want him back. So maybe that's part of the deal.
All right. So why don't we move along here and we'll just get into it. Mm-hmm. We have a segment on this show. It's called Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down. It lets us think a little bit differently. You know, we're heavy on AEW Dynamite. That's how this show on F4W Online kind of was created here. We told that story on the Fight Game Podcast Extra last week. We told the whole Genesis story of the Fight Game Podcast and us moving to F4W. So you can go to the Fight Game Media Network if you want to listen to that. But we have this segment, and you know, we've been doing it for a little while now. It's called Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down. So why don't we just get into that?
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Did you let me go first last week? Did you want to go first, or do you want me to go first again?
I can go first. That's fine. My thumbs up is for Tony Khan.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I like the announcement of the Hole in a Heart tournament happening in the Canadian tour. I thought that was cool and a smart move. You know, I was wondering like why they have announced that tournament. You know,
yeah,
there is going to be every year, they said, and I think that's a smart move. And I hope going forward, like they do that in Canada. You know, maybe during they're kind of always. Because this, I believe, this tour is doing well, right? The tickets are moving really well, if not sold out, I think, right?
I think there's – so when I last looked in the Observer, I think one of the shows was doing pretty well, and the other ones were just kind of – they were doing okay. They weren't doing bad. But the announcement of this could help that big that main show in Calgary that they're going to do. And, you know, it was very – it was a very smart thing. It was a very logical thing to do. Last year, now this may be an unpopular statement, but I was at Double or Nothing Live. And the very first Double or Nothing was in 2019. And I really, really liked that show, especially the last two matches. Dustin and Cody was just awesome. Just mm-hmm. the emotion of that match. But last year's Double or Nothing was a long-ish show. And some of the long-ishness of this show was because it was the first Owen Hart show, there was a lot of talking by, you know, by Mrs. Hart. There was a regalness to this show. The first one that they did, Tony wanted to really pay respects to Dr. Martha Hart and Owen. And all that. And there was some pomp and circumstance. You know, there's just a lot of talking. And I was like, you know what? I get it. but it's really dragging the show down. And I think it dragged it to like 5 hours or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's best in front of the Canadian audience and the Canadian fan base, obviously. And I just honestly, I thought the first one was very lackluster, all in all. Kind of thrown in on, I think it fits on these TV shows in Canada.
Yes.
But, and so I hope they, and I think some of the finishes were funky last time. I think they're doing angles and stuff. I think they're still building to like Forbidden Door with some of it. And it was all kind of funky. I hope you just straight just focus on tournament, just matches, winners and losers moving on, you know, winners moving on to the next round. And, you know, and I really wish they didn't just kind of make Mark Briscoe just another guy on the show.
He's a special enforcer this weekend on Rampage.
Oh, God. no, really?
Yeah, I think he's... I only heard the spoilers of the show, obviously, because it hasn't aired yet. But it's airing actually Friday. So when people listen to this, most likely on Friday. But it's like during the afternoon because of the playoffs. So it's like really early.
Now it's like 3 o'clock now, I think.
I think he's the enforcer in the Cash Wheeler Jay Lethal match or something like that. So something must happen on that show to build to this enforcer role for Mr. Briscoe.
An unfortunate, tragic thing happened, but a great story landed on Tony Khan's lap with Mark Briscoe. And he's done a horrible job with that. And I thought, man, I would have had Mark. Last appearance would have been at that ROH pay-per-view and WrestleMania weekend. Maybe, you know, holding the hands of the new champions, passing the torch kind of deal, whatever. And then have him disappear until he's ready to. Then you announce that he's signed with AEW. Then you announce that he's going to be in this tournament. I think, you know, him winning the tournament and him facing MJF down the line would have been fantastic. But yeah, but you know, I don't know who's. I even thought about who's going to win this tournament, but I hope it's just focused on wrestling and it's going to be good.
Well, I like the call. I like Tony Khan. The Owen Hart tournament, obviously the first winners were Adam Cole and Britt Baker.
Oh, that's right. They put two, right?
There's a women's tournament and a men's tournament. So I like splitting it up and I like spreading it across. It looks like we'll get maybe matchups on Double or Nothing and the tournament. I think they said that. Did Tony say the tournament starts at Forbidden Door? There's something that has to do with Forbidden Door with maybe first round matchups or something.
Is it first round matchups or is it semifinal matches? Because I don't think like July
Forbidden Door.
Yeah.
Which makes you think maybe there's a New Japan guy who's
I'm sure. Yeah.
You know, now that they have this IWGP women's title, maybe there's going to be a woman. Mercedes, somebody could be in this tournament. You know, Mercedes is very she loves her wrestling history, right? She likes to pay homage to the OGs like Eddie Guerrero. So I'm sure that could possibly be, you know, something of interest to her if they pony up for the cash there, because she's you know, she's playing this contract thing pretty smart. Like she's signing these short term deals, and it's like okay. I'm a free agent again. Let's do this.
That's funny. They created an IWGP women's title. Now they're going to create an IWGP strong women's title.
And she's in that main event. She's in that match.
They created that title just for her. It's like, why did now they create another title? What's the other titles going to be just floating around? Another million title in Stardom, you know? It's like.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, if you have your New Japan, your big New Japan shows, and you want a women's match on it, whoever's defending that title. Mm-hmm. And then you have that TV show that is the U.S., the U.S. version. And, you know, maybe there's business there for Mercedes if she's the one who's going to win that thing. So, yeah I mean, you know, I don't really understand the New Japan booking and all of this. I just think that they've been so terrible with their U.S. Version of New Japan. Like, it seems like it's so easy to do this, but then again, Japan is the A business, so it's not like you can just get Okada on some of these U.S. shows, right? The in Japan, that's the focus. So, but yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. My thumbs up is related to yours a little bit, what we veered off into. My thumbs up is to Stardom. And I'm not going to pretend that I watched this Stardom show this last weekend. I've watched a lot of the discourse. I've heard a lot of the discourse. Our guy, Scott Edwards, who does the Five Star Joshi show on our Patreon, and he's been doing some Q&As on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel. Like, that's like one of the most passionate guys who's doing this. Like, what we do right now, Scott Edwards is one of the most passionate guys who is doing it right now. And he has a love for Joshi, and he covers it like it's a sport. He covers it like it's the Boston Celtics to him. And he's a Boston Celtics fan. Boston Celtics just went to the next round. They're going to face the Philadelphia 76ers in the NBA playoffs. Like, that's how Scott covers Joshi. And the product has been so strong. And I'm not watching it. So it's from, I can't say whether it's good or bad from a creative. I know that the people who watch it really enjoy it. But from a business perspective, like, they've made inroads where companies are having a hard time gaining an audience, right? And they're pushing these buttons and they're changing, you know. I'm sure there are aspects of Stardom where you would watch it and you'd go, come on, like, what is this high speed match where, you know, it's just right. But they're trying things to differentiate themselves from some of the other products that are out there, because that's kind of what you have to do. You can't just be exactly like WWE and expect to, you know, I'm just talking about the US. You can't just expect to do WWE light. You know, we've seen versions of that. So Stardom, women's company, they're doing different things. They're having some really good success. So I wanted to point that out. You and I don't cover that here, but I wanted to shout that out. And the reason why I know that is because obviously Big Dave and Brian, they watch some of that stuff, but it's really Scott Edwards who's keeping me in the loop on that stuff. And yeah, check his stuff out. I think you guys will be really happy if you are trying to get into Stardom. He's like, he knows, he's like, yeah, you know, there's a learning curve and all that, but just let me know and I'm ready. So at Scott E Wrestling on Twitter, if you want to shoot him a note and say hi, he's definitely the guy to ask questions about.
Yeah. I would watch it.
It's a priority thing for us.
I would watch that show, or at least the main matches if I had access, but yeah, I'm not actively searching out, but it's heard it was a success. I know a lot of people raving about it, and you know, we'll see. Some people say it was better night one of WrestleMania. That's kind of a big thing to say, but
yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. All right. What about your thumbs down?
I watched. Thumbs down will be for NXT. Not
spring breaking.
Not the spring breaking. It's more the writers of NXT.
Uh huh.
The creative direction of NXT when it comes to, like, the wrestling is fine. You know, there's some green people, obviously, but overall the wrestling's gotten really better now with a lot of the influx of the UK guys, but the vignettes and the video packages, some of the angles with like I'm watching this show Spring Break, and it's a decent show. You know, there was some good. There was like a really good dominant win by Bron Breakker over Andrew Chase, but that was exactly what it needed to be. I really enjoyed your guy Carmelo Hayes and Grayson Waller had a really good match, and looked like Grayson was hurt at the end and still tough, you know, fought through it. That was pretty awesome. But damn, dude, like, they had like these personality profiles, almost like little promos. Tiffany Stratton, Indy Hartwell looking in the mirror. And the one that just threw me over the edge was Roxanne Perez. Like, when I was young, I was watching this. So, you know, I just looked up to these people. And I'm like, it just sounded so lame, you know? And then there was I turned it off. I didn't finish the show. I just like, okay, you know, I saw that match. Carmelo Hayes and Grayson Waller's great match. And I'm good there. When they broke in the video package of why Brooks and Jensen are feuding, and I mean, I've seen better acting on Spice Channel. You know what I mean?
Like, somebody in our Discord compared it to like porn acting.
I've seen better, but in that genre. But it's just like, it's, you could just hear them remembering and reciting their lines.
Yeah.
It's just bad. And we gotta, they gotta move this NXT 2.0 stench off. Because when it gets to matches and stuff, when you see guys like Ilya and you see Carmelo, you know, Joe Coffey, the Gallows Boys, all those guys, Norman Dar's there now, even Dragon Lee's there, that he had a hell of a match with, you know, Tyler Bate. You got all these guys, and you're like, man, this could be a hell of a show. And the wrestling's fine when the bell rings, but then like I feel like changing the channel when I see a lot of these vignettes they do, these little video packages are just god awful. So that's my thumbs down. NXT creative, I guess. Not necessarily creative when it comes to booking. I can't explain it. More of the extracurricular stuff, I guess, that's they throw on the show.
Now, why do you think that they do the vignettes the way that they do them? Are they just trying to anticipate what they believe is going to be expected out of these folks if they do go onto the main roster?
I don't know. You know, I don't know why. I feel like Sean is probably more focused on overall direction. You know, they have a writing team. They got to have them do something, you know. And this was like, go. I want them to kind of go back to more black and gold storytelling, you know, like which just good solid wrestling. And like, man, that Roxanne Perez promo just made my hair go on fire. Just like when I was a kid, and she looks so young, and it just sounds so ridiculous. And it's, you know, god awful, but yeah. NXT.
All right, my thumbs down is the Sacramento Kings. No, I'm just kidding.
No shit. The Warriors won.
I'm embattled with the Sacramento Kings right now.
They won that game as a party going across the street. We got the people that moved in, and they no one, for some reason, this side of my street, they're like garage people. You know what I mean? Everything happens in the garage. Like they're all from Brooklyn or something. I don't know what's going on over there. Like no one hangs out in their backyard. They're just all in the front, and they're at the big screen in the garage, the couches, and I don't know. It was loud and crazy. You know, now I'm getting that age, and I have kids now. Like, hey, it's so sad.
No, it's a great series, and you know, for these seven games, I have to be anti Sacramento Kings. If they were not playing the Warriors, I'd be completely fine with them. Okay, my real thumbs down goes to none other than Triple H. And I have, outside of bringing back some of the NXT folks who you could tell he really likes, but I'm not sure are much more than filler on his current show, you know, your Dexter Lumis or your Johnny Gargano, the way that they're booking Johnny Gargano, you know, Triple H wanted to bring those people in and maybe even show the audience like, hey, you know, there is a connection between NXT and Raw. You know, Vince is gone, so, you know, he may not have gotten those folks, but I'm here, and I do. And so, and some of those people, I'm like, okay, I kind of agree with Vince on this one. But other than that, I was pretty happy. I mean, I'm currently happy with WWE's, most of their main story booking, like big picture booking. Like, you know, you can have some sort of opinion on like small storylines here or there, like, you know, I'll never understand why they just continue with Karrion Kross. Like, he's proven time and time again, like, for what they're looking for, he just can't deliver that part of it. But this past Monday was really the first time where I scratched my head and I was like, really, this is what we're doing here?
Yeah.
And I think everybody understands it's, they bring out this brand new WWE championship. It very reminiscent to the big gold belt. And the idea is that Roman Reigns kicks so much ass and he has so much leverage that he doesn't even have to wrestle. Mm-hmm. He's so good that they have to create another title because nobody can beat him. And the way that I see this, and I'm actually very interested in your thoughts on this, is that it if just from my experience of being a WWE fan and understanding some of the politics and being an observer reader and doing this show with you, what I think happened is that at some point they wanted to split the titles with Roman. Roman's got two belts. They were trying to figure out a way to split the titles so that Cody has one, Roman has one, and then you kind of meet at the big match.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just don't want to beat Roman. And they created this new championship. So now there's going to be three world titles. Yeah. This title is going to be decided in Saudi Arabia at Night of Champions. Whether it's Seth Rollins or Cody Rhodes or whoever wins, it does look like the idea is that whoever wins this belt, Cody's getting it at some point. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have the Cody and Roman match for all the belts. And I'm just like, do you need to create another championship in order to do this? And I'm guessing that they just did not want to strip Roman or beat Roman or do whatever they wanted to do to create, to split up those two belts that he has. I just didn't think that this was the best solution to that problem that is sort of created by them.
Yeah, I saw earlier there, or was it the day before, or I think it was Friday, I made a SmackDown. They said Triple H is gonna have a major announcement or something like that. I don't watch Raw live, so I kind of like checked Twitter like an hour into the show. Oh, let's see what that announcement was. Maybe it's already happened already, or something like that. And it was like, I couldn't believe what I saw. And now, granted, I thought the belt looked nice.
The belt's totally.
I'm like,
fine.
Why can't they just give that to Roman? Like, this is a new. This represents both belts now. You know?
Yeah.
I don't understand why they would do this, because no matter who wins it, Cody, Seth Rollins, whoever, you're winning the second place trophy.
Yeah.
And that's what everyone's going to see that. Well, yeah, you're a champion, but you still haven't beaten Roman. Like, you've done all this work, Vince, Triple H included, together, to create this, you know, pretty legendary run for Roman Reigns that really built this special meaning. Like, oh man, whoever beats is going to be big. It's going to be as big as probably whoever beats Undertaker and reaches this streak. Like, they're building that up, right? And so my hope is Cody does not win it first time, like this tournament. I hope he's not even there, honestly. Something about the American guy with a tattoo on his neck at the Saudi Arabia show. Kind of seems weird. But I would have Brock beat Cody in the first match. And at the Backlash, maybe so bad where he is just out. Because Saudi Arabia is in May too as well, the end of the month, right?
Uh-huh. It's the same weekend as Double or Nothing.
Okay, so same week as Double or Nothing. So you could do something where he's out for that, you know, that length of time. Cody could win Money in the Bank, come back at that, win that. You know, is that July, I believe? Or you could have him probably back before then. But I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. If you're going to put that belt on Cody, I would have him beat Brock. Maybe Brock wins it at, I don't know if Brock wants to wrestle multiple times in Saudi Arabia. He probably wants to do the first match and leave, but, or whoever. Whoever Cody beats, whoever's the champion at SummerSlam. And then you can kind of, you know, like you said, I don't hit the mic. Like you said, work your way towards WrestleMania next year. Cody, Roman for all the marbles, right? So, but who's ready for Roman now?
Nobody.
On the other side, I guess they're waiting to do this whole draft, right? Which is this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, like, who's ready for Roman now? There's no one.
Bad Bunny.
Who?
Bad Bunny.
That would draw though, like, in the, but like who's ready? Like, they had brought Matt Riddle, and Matt Riddle's already lost a few times solo, so he's not solo. It's not him, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm curious to see how that's gonna play out. And could they done something like leading up to this announcement to where like Roman's being a very hard deal with for Triple H?
Yeah, he just kind of healed, like Jesus, like this guy's not, you know, this guy's not easy to deal with here. All of a sudden, just we hadn't heard about that before.
Like, now we just heard like, about it. Maybe Adam Pearce is the guy that's going to Paul. Like, Paul, man, we need Roman to defend his title. What's Roman's, you know, we need to talk to, have a sit down with Roman, right? And Paul kind of brushes Adam Pearce off for a few weeks, brushes him off. The tribal chief, you're not, you know, does that feel as anyone's worthy, whatever, right? And then Triple H or Adam Pearce tells Paul Heyman, he better show up on SmackDown because Triple H wants him there, right? And then you have this big confrontation with Triple H and Roman, and it's a big old pissing contest. But because he's champion, Roman does have a lot of the power. He's their biggest star. He could maybe threat, even throw a little threat, and like, I can go where, I can go someplace else, you know, get people, you know, I'm going to do what I want. And then, I don't know, you could do something to where there was a reason why. It just came out of the blue, like, oh, we're just going to do this now, you know. I don't know. I didn't really like it at all. I was, it made me bummed out. Like, you know, that creative was going well and, you know, decent, you know, and I'm like, oh, shit, you know, like, what's this about? I just feel bad who was going to win it because it's going to be a consolation prize. And I think Brock would be fine to win it first. Not Cody, but Cody can't be there to lose it in the finals. You know what I mean? So that's why I was thinking that Backlash, Brock wins that one by hook or by crook. Leaves him laying because Brock's nuts. And then Cody's out. And then Brock can win it and hold it to SummerSlam and lose it there to Cody.
By the way, did you see these Knights of eligible superstars for the draft?
I'd say the Knights of Ren. I was thinking some Star Wars stuff. I've heard like the groups are available as a total group, but Bloodline's not or something like that. Or
yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, I don't know if there is any real logic to any of this, but the Usos are available, but they're only available to be drafted on Raw on Monday. Mm. Cody is available to be drafted on Friday. And so they just have like a select number of superstars.
That's weird.
Who are available for each show. I think that that's how they've done it the last couple of times. But the Bloodline of Roman and Solo as a twosome are available to be drafted, but Roman not by himself because I guess he's a champ. I mean, they should explain this.
Yeah.
But yeah, if people are interested on the on F4WOnline.com, there is the list of wrestlers.
Whatever brand does not pick Roman first is like the stupidest brand in the company, right?
Stupidest brand. Like, you, if SmackDown goes first, you take the Bloodline, and then Raw takes Cody, and you go from there, I guess.
That's what they should do. They could have done this anyways. Like, they could, I don't know, whatever. And there's rumors they're going to be only, like, what, brand-specific pay-per-views again?
Who knows, man? I kind of wondered like, about that. Like, yeah, because maybe there's some part of Triple H who's like, you know what? I can actually do this. I can actually make this important, and we could peak these five pay-per-views and make these five pay-per-views important, mm-hmm. and we'll keep them separate. Like, it sounds good on paper, but when push comes to shove, like, the Bloodline are on Raw and SmackDown. Like, the Usos are on Raw and SmackDown. And, you know, they kind of carry those shows, and Sammy and Kevin are on both shows. Cody is mostly on Raw, but he'll show up on SmackDown when need be. So I don't know. They're doing such good business. You would think you can pull that rabbit out of your hat. Maybe when business goes down a little bit, you know, maybe when like, things are not popping, but things are still popping. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if they should change anything really.
Yeah, I agree. I think wow. Like, what craziness is this? The only positive was about that belt looked beautiful. I thought.
Yeah.
And I thought.
Well, I thought Triple H was just going to put it on himself. It's like, I'm the champ.
He's going to beat Spike Dudley for it. I thought, like, I was hoping that after WrestleMania, after he beat Cody, that they would finally just give him one belt for the guy to lug around, you know?
Yeah. He's got to have the two.
And that would have been perfect because it is a beautiful title, but it's just, gosh. And then what are they going to do with the tag title? Same thing?
I don't know. Who knows?
It's very lame as it is that they have two women's champions and God, wrestling, man. They're merchandising, right? They got to sell a red one and a blue one, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. All right, let's talk about our big picture thoughts on AEW Dynamite from Wednesday night.
The big picture.
All right, so AEW Dynamite, lots of heels just eating up baby faces. Like,
yeah.
The theme of the night.
A lot of people getting beat up.
So this wasn't really on my big picture because even though Orange Cassidy is maybe the best booked babyface in the whole company, you know, the international title is still the international title. It's not really, it's kind of like a TV title. And I think he's up to like 20 title defenses.
Yeah. Yes.
Who is the person that's going to get something from beating this guy? Is it going to be Jay White?
I don't know. I was thinking, God, you could have done this streak with Will Hobbs and made it really important that, you know, so we're now we're doing it with the one joke hope, I guess. I guess Jay White, but I would like to see Jay White as a TNT champion. You know, I think that's
more the Wardlow belt or the international belt.
Yeah, I like to see him win that. And they're trying to make something out of this. I mean, you know, Tony Khan loves Orange Cassidy, and I mean, I hate this match. This match was garbage. You know, just Bandido to me was like really exposed in it as being a really poor worker. Like, he just has a great look and everything, but like, and he does some exciting stuff, but the stuff in between the exciting stuff is really lazy and bad. And you know, I just didn't like, there's that point where the match where I think, remember that vertical suplex spot? Bandito is installing vertical suplex, holds him up, guy for a long time, right? And Orange Cassidy reverses into this, the stunner, right? He calls it the slum dog, right? Millionaire or something like that, right? Yeah. And then he hits the ropes. Then he gets in like a tilt-a-whirl by Bandito, catching like a tilt-a-whirl. But then and he's going for it, and now Orange Cassidy is going to turn into a tornado DDT, but Bandito blocks him and still is able to get the suplex. But there's no damage done to Orange Cassidy. Couldn't you just also reverse that suplex into another stunner? No damage was done to him, right? I thought that was weird. A lot of stuff in the match was weird. There's a one point in the match, I think like a few times they were off on this off right? It looked like even yes. Like the finish, the cradle. At one point, I think they're fighting on the floor, and then Bandito took him around towards the entrance side of the ring to do something on the floor, but then got confused and just kind of rolled him back in. But when he rolled him in, he just like put his hands on his back, and Orange Cassidy just vaulted in the ring. It was like,
yeah,
dude, grab him. Look like you're throwing him in the ring, dude. That's just lucha laziness. It's just part of their deal. They don't care. The flips are cool.
So, don't worry. I will connect this in a second. But people are going to think that I'm like.
And he lost again. Bandito lost again.
Okay, so I'm reading the Steve Kern book. Steve Kern, obviously coming up in like the 70s, right? Mm-hmm. Much different wrestling style. He's talking about. You know, he's just losing every match and just, you know, that's just his job, to lose every match. And the idea that, you know, he's got this match with superstar Billy Graham and they do the test of strength. Billy Graham, you know, that's his thing, test of strength. And they're doing the test of strength. And all of a sudden, Billy Graham is like going to his knees, like Steve Kern, of all people, is beating him in this test of strength. And Steve Kern is yelling at Billy Graham, going like, dude, the fans are going to start booing me because they know this is bullshit. Like, stop. And Billy Graham is just like laughing, right? Just the idea of something like that for Steve Kern to think, you know, I'm actually going to get heat here and not the good kind of heat. That would just never happen in wrestling today. People would have so much fun with whomever the powerhouse is today, if it's MJF or whatever. And, you know, the Spike Dudley of people like getting the upper hand on the test of strength. Like, the wrestling is so different today than it was back then. And I thought like that stood out. Like, man, like that, like you wouldn't see that anymore. People would just have fun with it because they're kind of in on the act.
I mean, I'm sure it still happens, but I see a lot of stuff where it wouldn't, a lot of people wouldn't go for that because they would be like, hey, you're hurting me, or it wouldn't look good for me, and versus doesn't make sense. Why are we doing this? And they would nix it, you know, in the back and be political about it, not saying, oh, that fucking sucks, I'm not gonna do that, you know, but like in a way where it's, you know, you're not insulting anyone, you're just like, hey, you know, like I don't think that's the right gonna work for me and what I'm trying to do, let's try to figure out a different way to get them that, you know. And then you kind of just brainstorm stuff, but now it's like, oh yeah, sure, who cares, you know, it's all fun, you know, it's all, we all know it's fake, you know, it's like,
yeah, it's just the fans are, yes, just, you all know it's fake, in on everything. It's like, I get it, and I'm a part of that, right? I like, you know, we do this show, I'm part of Wrestling Observer Radio, so I get it, the fans are closer than ever to the product, but yeah, I just, sometimes I wish it was a little bit more like it was, but then again, I don't know, there's pluses and minuses, I guess, to what we do, if it was.
Well, I mean, even like, I know what it is, obviously, you know, and not, you know, like, but when it's something's still really good, I can suspend my disbelief and get really drawn into a match and get emotional. You know, it's just like a good movie. You know, we know it's not real. You know, we know Harrison Ford's not Indiana Jones, but like in real life. But if it's a good movie, good script, good action, you know, like we're invested, right? So
you don't think Tom Cruise could really run that?
Same thing with the pro wrestling match. No, I don't think so. You know, like I watch a lot of comic book geeky shit, you know, and I'm into it. You know, I'm like, oh, I get emotionally invested in these characters, and there's, you know, people are flying around and shooting stuff out of their eyes, you know, like, it's just how it's presented, and they don't insult your intelligence. But like wrestling, for some reason, this modern era is like, they like to just, They don't really want to make you believe anymore. They're just trying to get their stuff in and do some stuff. They're doing stuff for pops, right?
Mm-hmm.
They think it's a good match. The crowd was popping the whole match, but there's pops only are remembered for the moment, not for you know, months and years to come. You know, like it's just frustrating to watch. And this Orange Cassidy Bandido match is extremely bad, in my opinion. You know, crowd, you say, oh, crowd was loving it. Well, shit, this crowd loves, they pop for moves and stuff, you know. But I'm talking about like anyone that knows anything would watch that match and be like, eh, it was not that good.
All right, let's talk about this Pillars storyline. It's something that we have been not a fan of since the first story that they started telling leading up to Double or Nothing. So we're getting back to the story that we didn't really want, which was this four-way. And I'm so interested in your thoughts about this, because I feel like the booking is making this four-way match the heel of the whole thing. Because originally, we were led to believe that this was going to be a four-way, and people were like, oh, I don't know if I'm into the four-way. And then Darby started standing out. So what the fans wanted was this one-on-one match with Darby and MJF. They're like, okay, if we get there, we'll be happy. And then they kind of swerved us again, and now we're getting this four-way again. And it feels really backwards to me, because if they had started with the tournament, and you kind of screw these baby faces, giving them a chance in the four-way all of a sudden makes the four-way the baby face, like makes the four-way something the fans look forward to, because they're here. You know, the baby faces can actually be involved in this because they keep getting screwed. But he did it the reverse way. And I just feel like this match is, we're getting the match that we didn't want to see in the first place. And I'm not sure that that was supposed to be the goal of this booking.
No, it's been really poorly done, this booking leading to this match. You had one guy shining through in Darby and really just prove himself to be like way ahead of the other two. And their booking is like, oh, let's just make them unlikable. Let's make Darby unlikable now. You know, even this episode, like, there's Jungle Boy in that promo and Darby, like, they're trying to almost do it, almost felt like a course correct. Like, oh, I'm sorry, man. You know, I want to apologize. Things got heated, you know. And then Jungle Boy kind of like, it was okay, you know. And then he's like, I wish I was me and you in the finals here. And then Darby's like, yeah, I wish it was too, because I beat you. Like, what a little ass, right? And
what a dick.
I'm like, yeah, what a total dick. And I'm like, fuck, what the hell's going on here? Right? And then Sammy and NJF are buddies and oh, it's just complete nonsense, man. That match is it probably will be going last, but it's not going to be the real main event of Double Nothing. So that's going to be the truth of it. And that's pretty sad.
Yeah, I was just, you know, it's like one of those things where the booker, in this case, Tony, kind of sees what is happening live and in color, and he could detour, right? He could go, oh, it's pretty clear that Darby is doing the best out of all these guys. And so let's change the plans. Let's make that looks like it's going to be a much bigger match. And he kind of leads us to believe that. And he's like, nope, we're going to go back to the original idea. And I think I've had this discussion in our Discord. I think the fans are generally okay with it because their mentality is, well, we know the match is, we know we're going to like the match. They're going to do stuff that appeases what we like about wrestling. And my comeback on that is, well, how about we have a good story and a good match? Like, you can do both. And it's just the story is just seems to be lacking here for me. And I'm kind of bummed out because, you know, it makes Darby and Sammy and Jungle Boy, it's not that they're in second place to MJF. They're like in last place. Like, he's outshining these guys so much. I'm not sure anyone, you know, and you know, I can't say that they won't get over more than they are today, because we'll see the match, and maybe the match is so great that, you know, one of them just becomes a main eventer because of it. But I feel like they're in the exact same spot during this story. Like, I don't think it doesn't feel like anybody outside of MJF is a main eventer.
Yeah, I don't think anyone. I think the match would get. They'll do a bunch of stuff. People react, but in the end, I don't think it's going to make a new star out of, you know, Darby, Jungle Boy, or Sammy. I think the match will be just like every other four way today, right? I think MJF, I believe he's really retaining the title. Let's hope to God he does. And so he'll probably end up stealing the victory, you know, like most heels do when they're the champion, going to these matches and they're retaining. But yeah, it's just. Yeah, people are like, yeah, it's probably, like I said, they're probably going to react a lot of stuff. They're going to do some cool stuff. That's great. But we want the important thing we want is to draw money. We want people that are on the fence of buying this pay-per-view, want to be excited about the pay-per-view, want to watch the world champion defend the title against someone, right? So why not go with Darby, which was so good? You know, it was starting to be something really to sink our teeth into. And then the next week, Darby just ends up being an ass, and then a dick this week. And what's next? You know, like,
and then I feel bad for MJF, but
he's hurting his run, you know, as champion.
Yeah. And then he gets outsmarted here at the end
by Tony Schiavone, of all people.
They pull the Eddie Guerrero on him. MJF comes down, throws the skateboard in Darby's hands. Sammy goes down. And then. All of a sudden, the referee, who didn't see anything happen, didn't even hear anything happen. Sometimes the referees will listen with their ears and go, oh, I heard something happen. Nothing happened, and he disqualifies him. And I was just like, why all of a sudden? Like, what is this with this count out and this disqualification? These referees let everything go in every single match, and all of a sudden... It just doesn't, it's not logical, and it doesn't make any sense.
Referees should not call what they don't see, and the referee did not see Sammy hit, Darby hit Sammy with his chair, right? Or yeah, so it should have been, you know, Sammy should have, like you said, made a big noise, maybe hit himself with a chair a little bit to make some noise, or something. It's just lame, and the crowd was not happy with it. And to get to this point where it started with, it's just only person that thinks people care about this four pillar thing is only Tony Khan. I don't think any AEW fan. I'm sure there are some.
I think the
majority
idea
are like
four pillars.
Yeah, we don't like the idea because they heard about it in, you know, All Japan and shit like that. But
yeah,
Three Musketeers and all that with New Japan. They like the idea, but come on, dude. Jungle Boy, I love Jack, but damn, he's not there. Sammy could have been there, but they haven't done anything with him for a year and a half. And Darby, okay, I can kind of see that, but they've been up and down with him. MJF is for sure, right? A guy you want to build around, but yeah. Like I said, it's going to be on the pay-per-view. It's going to be for the title, but people are not going to pay money to see that. I'm guessing the Blackpool Combat Club versus Elite's going to be the match that people are going to want to see more on the pay-per-view.
All right, let's move on and talk about Adam Cole and Chris Jericho. So after last week, where Adam Cole was handcuffed to the bottom rope and watched his girlfriend, Britt Baker, get hit with soft kendo stick shots. How did she end up? Did you ever see how she ended up with the black eye, by the way?
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
probably in that match, maybe.
Maybe in the match, because it didn't seem like it was from the kendo stick shots. But anyways, obviously, Cole, very upset. And Jericho kind of turns it around on him. Jericho's not there. Cole wanted Jericho to come out. Jericho was on the big screen, and he's like, why would I want to go be in the ring with you, a guy who just lets his girlfriend get beat up while he does nothing? That was really good.
Yeah.
And so instead, he's like, hey, I have a crew, and they're going to be the ones to fight you. And so the JAS jump him. The newly formed team of the OC and Bandido, who just had a match, and Bandido's like, hey, I lost. Let's be friends. They come out to help, and they get beat up. So who comes out? Well, everyone knows who it was because the video played on the big screen before the guy even ran out, said his name right on the video, Roderick Strong, and then you see Roderick Strong. I think it was still a cool moment. But I wouldn't have played that video. I would have let, and maybe they were worried that the fans weren't really going to know. How can you not know, though? I don't know. I don't know what the machinations were behind it. But yeah. Roderick Strong comes out to save the day, and he and Adam Cole hug at the end. So I guess Roderick Strong, and maybe when Kyle O'Reilly is back,
yeah,
and then they become a crew again. So I thought it was a nice moment. But I did wish, you know, I'm nitpicking here, but I wish they wouldn't have played that video that spoiled Roderick Strong coming out.
Well, there's a lot of things wrong with this. And other than that big, yeah. Well, I figured he was already out when that happened. I didn't see him. But.
So there's the video starts playing and his initials or whatever his logo is starts like turning. And so then you hear the music and you see the name Roderick Strong on the big screen about a second before he runs out.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I knew someone texted me that Roderick Strong was on the show. So I kind of knew it was going to happen there. So I spoiled on that. But I thought like the Jericho. Well, first of all, let's go back. Let's go back where after this big, you know, quote unquote heavy angle they shot last week, you know, after. They go to Adam Cole for a promo backstage, right? And he's saying, like, he's upset, obviously. He's calling a call, just Jericho. And what do they do after this, you know, this first promo we see from this guy after his girlfriend was beat up in front of him, etc.? Orange Cassidy and Bandido come in and do a joke. right?
Yeah.
Like, would Dusty Rhodes again come out there and be fired up on Ric Flair, and all of a sudden, you know,
the Mulkey Brothers came
out. The Mulkey Brothers came out
during hard times. You never saw that?
Would that happen? No. Like, what the hell? Oh, because they're going to be associated later on, right?
Yeah.
You could just have them come out because they're baby faces anyways. Like, who gives a shit? Like, why did you do this? You just ruined Cole. Now you made this a joke, right? It's not supposed to be a joke. It's supposed to be something serious, right? And then okay, so the Jericho stuff was great on the video screen, you know. But it's like, I'm not going to go out there, you know. That's great. Being a heel, great. I like that part. Then he sent out his goon squad. But come on, Garrett. Again, this was a heavy angle they tried to do. Wasn't executed greatly, as we talked about last week. But can you just say, you know what, Jake Hager? Maybe not go out there with that fucking outfit on and look like a total dick and like goofball. Like, could you not?
Yeah.
Because it looks so silly, right?
Yep.
And then when Roddy comes out, this brawl looked like crap, dude. Like, he did stuff, but you got to stage it. Like, you got to come in and one guy do something, boom, and another guy do. Then maybe Jay Hager tries to go at him, and he low bridges Hayward. Hager takes a bump, and then he does something to whoever, and then the rear, like, it's just kind of like just – like, there's some poor brawling going on, you know? I mean, it just was just lame. But I'm happy for Roddy. Super happy for him. That guy had a serious neck injury, major surgery,
mm-hmm.
and he's 40 fucking years old. His body's been through wear and tear, you know, and I'm sure he can see the lay of the land in WWE, you know what I mean? Like, why not take a lesser schedule, be with his wife, could travel with his wife and kid, you know, go to shows, you know, make some money. Good deal. So happy for Roddy. But yeah, will this be anything big deal? I don't know. Maybe Kyle O'Reilly comes back. Maybe he'll do something with these guys.
Trios titles. Baby. Shit.
Yeah, that's right. Trios. But I'm happy for Roddy himself. Just, you know, it's good that, you know, I think it's just a better situation for him than WWE at this time.
Yeah. Now, did you understand the storyline between Taya and Jade here with the finishing moves? And
I mean, I got the gist. Like, they both have the same finisher, and the lawyer Mark Sterling is, you know, getting a junction that she can't use it, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I get the idea of the storyline. Yeah.
Okay. So this was actually something that could have made Taya, I feel, mm-hmm. a pretty big baby face coming out of it if they played this thing, at least the way that I thought they were going to play it. So that they have the match, and, you know, Taya is one of the women on the roster who can match the physicality with Jade. She, you know, size-wise and such, she's not a small woman who Jade sometimes is facing. And so we get to this finish, and she's about to put Jade in her finishing move,
mm-hmm.
and she decides that, oh man, I can't do this, and she kind of takes her eye off the ball. Jade looks at the camera, smirks, and rolls her up to win the match. And I was thinking, like, you know, how do baby faces who you believe in handle this situation? It's like, F this disqualification. I'm going to do it anyways. And you're going to disqualify me. So be it. But this is who I am. You know, I'm not going to let some goofball in a suit tell me what to do. But instead, she doesn't do it. And she gets outsmarted by the heel.
Yep.
I was like, man, they really do not have plans for her if that was the finish to this and the story to this match. I was like, she's done. What do they do with her now?
I guess she's going to go to become more Hueta Loca and be crazy, right? Because after the match, she tried to put Ref Aubrey in the finisher, and all the referees came out and all that stuff.
And why did she even do that? No, she didn't get screwed. Yeah. She was just dumb.
Yeah, I know. It was dumb, dude. And it's, but the way Tony Khan's book Jade's been dumb. And everybody's like, what do you mean? LaRocca? She's 56 and 0. They've been undefeated. Like, no, dude. Yeah, if you're pushing her in a fucking baby face, yeah, you know, like it makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's how the fans see her. They want her to win. They want to keep her going. They're invested in her. They like Jade's a baby face, this crowd, right? She's not doing anything, getting any kind of heat, right? And or sometimes she's a heel here, sometimes she's a baby face here in programs, right? Hell, we've seen her hold her kid up after she wins the matches.
Her comeback, her fire up was total baby face. There was no heel part about it.
So going into the match, first of all, Taya got no reaction coming out. They actually teased Taya locking on her finish early in the match to crickets. In these audience, because these people aren't watching, even they're not even watching Rampage either.
Well, I think that is the problem, right? Is because most of this stuff happened on Rampage.
Yeah, like 90% of it has been on Rampage. And then, first of all, Taya, I like Taya, but she's also not that good in the ring. She needs to have shorter matches. I think she works better as a heel because she can hide some of the weaknesses. And this match here, like I said, like people don't care about the stip because they won. They're not watching Rampage and not really invested in the storyline. Two, to them, Jade is the babyface, right? Because they like her. Now, if Jade had any heat and Taya was like making her big comeback and just going nuts, and then she gets that finisher, like, oh no, she can't do it. And she just like, fuck it. I'm going to do it and prove a point that if I hit it, I could beat you with it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it would mean something, but no one cared. Nobody cared. And yeah, Taya looked horrible. The finish was slow. And in that, right?
You know, she just stops doing it. Mm. And she has this look on her face like, I just can't do this. And time stands still.
Yeah.
Enough for Jade to smile and wink at the camera and then pull off some sort of roll up.
Yeah, that was slow. You know, it looked like crap. So yeah, this was bad. Really bad. This show wrestling wise, I don't think it was any strong. I mean, I don't know if we're gonna talk about Jeff Jarrett versus Dax Harwood. Dax,
well, it's not on my big picture list because it's true. You know, I guess it is going to be the tag team program, maybe even to Dynamite. To Double or Nothing. I thought that match. So, about a minute in, I'm like, oh man, Jarrett is blowed up. Like this poor dude, they're going too fast. But Dax, I thought, did a pretty good job with Jarrett, and Jarrett tried to keep up, and it was a little slow here and there. But you know, it was a pretty good Jeff Jarrett match, I thought.
It was okay. Probably a little bit of a letdown because the people were expecting a better match. I think Jeff Jarrett showed his age in this match. I thought the match layout was probably wrong because I don't think Jarrett could do this. Dax has a more of a faster pace with the, like, especially the finishes and the near falls and all that stuff. Just, you could tell Jarrett just didn't have the spring in his step anymore. Right. Obviously he was blown up too. I'm just saying like everything caught up to him. Right. And I think they could have simplified this a little more and maybe went more of a pace with Jarrett's pace. And I felt like it was more Dax's pace. So, you know, that was a, I'm watching this, I'm like, oh, this should be pretty good. No, it was okay. You know? So that was a bummer. And then, I'm trying to think, was there any other really good matches on the show? I don't think so.
We had the main event and this is, the show story long angle between the, the BCC and the Elite.
Who beat up RJ City, who hasn't been shown on their television show. He was on a pre-show for a pay-per-view one time.
John Moxley beat up poor debuting RJ City. And so Brian Danielson comes out for this match starts. And it's Omega and Takeshita versus the Butcher and the Blade. And Danielson starts shooting on Nakazawa and Cutler, and I started laughing. He was just like, he was like, why would you want Takeshita to be the elite versus being BCC? Like, who is the elite? You know, who have they trained? Nakazawa and Cutler? And I was like, oh my God. This is actually a little bit too close to the truth here. And so Danielson's whole thing about this, his commentary is about how Takeshita will be better off with the BCC. It plays into the finish, or at least the end of the show angle. So Takeshita wins the match. He hits the running knee to win. And so then the elite jump Kenny Omega, and Takeshita's on the outside. Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson, is telling Takeshita, you know, so that then the Bucks came out. And so the Bucks came out, and Kenny had the screwdriver, and they were going to go to town on Mox with the screwdriver. And Danielson's telling Takeshita, you can't let this happen. Like, look what's going on. And so Takeshita runs into the ring, and he stops Omega from using the screwdriver on Moxley. So, of course, it turns out that, you know, Takeshita's niceness was taken for granted here, and the BCC then turn on Takeshita, and they hit him with the screwdriver, and he's bleeding as the show goes off the air. So babyfaces again just get beat up on this show, and Takeshita.
Another Japanese wrestler booked as being a dumb Japanese wrestler. It's like Takeshita. Oh man, I hate that. I hate that we have this poor guy in this. I thought they could have done something.
Got his ass kicked for being nice to dastardly heels.
And you put him in this position to do some kind of acting, and he's like, it looked as good as NXT's been acting those promos. Like, it looked like it, you know, he didn't get the spice porno level either. It was just, oh my gosh, really bad. And then stabbing of the Moxley has this, I don't know, this fantasy of being Abdul the Butcher or something. And it just doesn't look, you know, Abdul looked crazy, you know, and you can think, this guy, man, this guy's wild and nuts. You know, Mox just looks like a regular old Joe.
Well, you know, the funny thing about Mox is his style. Well, not really his style, but like his wrestling style is a little bit brawler, a little bit, you know, not garbage wrestler, but, you know, lots of foreign objects and stuff. But the fundamental aspect of his training is MMA training. And so, you know, he's got this mix of stuff, and it's, you know, Josh Barnett and Bloodsport, and now he's just pulling out screwdrivers on people. It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of weird to me. The Blackpool Combat Club as a club, you know, it's about the strong wrestling, and now, you know, now it's about the screwdriver. I don't know, whatever, you know, wherever they're going to this no DQ match. In this no DQ match, is it going to be like everybody has screwdrivers, and it's going to be like, you know, like a knife fight, like, but except with screwdrivers?
Well, I'm sure the screwdriver is going to end up being the finish or something, right? I'm guessing. Was the no disqualification match going to happen? At pay-per-view?
I guess.
Anarchy in the Arena?
Yeah, are we doing Blood and Guts or Anarchy in the Arena? You know who I blame for this, you know, for this going the next level in the foreign object? I blame that Lucha Bros against the Trios seven best of seven. What was the foreign object that PAC was using, or and that the Lucha Brothers
crowbar? The bell, ring bell. Ring
no, bell. There hammer, was another hammer. One. The hammer. I blame the hammer, because it's like, we can't use a chair. You know, the kendo stick. I'm not a fan of the kendo stick because I think sometimes they're too light with it, but the chair, the I guess what else can you get under the ring to hit? So the ring bell, like you said, I don't know. I just don't want to go that next level, because what's after the screwdriver?
And what's gonna happen next week? I bet you anything, Blackpool Combat Club will be on the TV show next week.
You mean they're not going to be arrested?
Should they be suspended? Should they be fined? Should they be off the show for a while? Because, you know, you try to take a guy's eye out with a screwdriver. See, sometimes you can't go that far. You know what I mean? It's like the old rule in commentary. You don't say he's gonna break this guy's neck or try, you know, because he's not, you know, right? It's not gonna happen. So now you're disappointing the fans, right?
Yeah.
So it's just, so next week comes out like, if they're like, okay, they're kind of promoting the middle ring, Blackpool Comic Club's like, you know, what, okay, so everyone can just stab each other and no one's going to be, you know, have any kind of consequences? It's stupid. Maybe they will be. I don't know. Maybe Tony Khan will do that. But it's just too much. And I'm not, and again, no one's, well, granted, they went out the air, thank God. So not like, it didn't look as bad where like no one's out there helping him and it went too long. But yeah, it was just, but I didn't like Takeshita looking like, oh, no. I was like, oh, man, don't do that to this guy.
What happened to Don? Did Don just get beat up? Like, why wasn't Don out there?
That's his boy. And you also reminded me, what happened to Pac? You're talking about Lucha Brother. Where's that guy at?
Yeah, I wonder what happened to him.
Yeah, yeah, he's missing in action.
Yeah, so, yep. They're leading to, you know, whether it's Anarchy or Blood and Guts or whatever.
Well, Don's going to end up managing the Elite, right?
Or just Kenny.
No, not the Elite. He's going to go to the Blackpool Comic Club. That's what he's going to do.
Do they need a manager? Do they need a Regal replacement?
I don't know. I don't know what Don's... It seems like he's doing stuff kind of like... Or he just wants Kenny away from them? Is that what he's going to do? I don't know. We'll see. Then Coda's going to come and save the day.
Yeah.
Then they're going to be like the Golden Lovers again and this big old... They're going back to the CW drama.
What's up with Hangman? Like, I feel like, you know, sometimes they bring these guys back like the next week when they should like be dead. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they wait forever. I feel like this would have been a good time for Hangman to come back.
Yeah, Hangman has been... we'll see what happens next week. If Takeshita's back before Hangman, then Hangman's a bunch of... he's a puss. Right? Like, yeah, so we'll see. Yeah, not a good episode, I thought. I'm like, God, man, come on, guys. You're getting to this pay-per-view. Let's go. You know,
here's what I'll say. When I watch this show, a lot of things happen. And I'm generally entertained because the show moves. But when you actually break the stuff down, like a lot of it doesn't make a whole lot of sense from what I understand logical wrestling booking to be. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're going to break it down and we're going to kind of poke holes in some of the stuff. And, you know, I'm sure after each Dynamite, I mean, if this is anything like WWE, Tony kind of has a little bit of a meeting after and go, okay, you know, how do we do here and there and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, the last two shows, I watched them live and I thought, you know, these are kind of fun shows. And then when we actually broke them down and I looked at my notes and then I started thinking about, okay, what did they do here? Then I was like, huh, like a lot of this stuff really didn't make sense as to how I understand wrestling to make sense. So,
I mean, honestly, it's been happening for over a year and a half of not making sense, or even more than that. I mean, really, like we can kind of really go back to the Forbidden Door, like, build. That's where stuff really started to get confusing. And we got poor Powerhouse Hobbs still on QTTV. I thought that was going to end.
He did forearm to the neck, though, at least.
Yeah, I was hoping he'd throw him through the wall.
You know, you called that woman the jabroni Miss Hancock.
Yeah.
Not with that top, dude. She was the jabroni Deborah McMichaels with that.
Okay. Oh, she's going Deborah this week?
Yeah, it was Deborah this week.
Great booking, great tease. We like a lot of 2023, Tony Khan's going with the long stairs. Christian comes out with the dinosaur.
I was kind of happy that Christian came out, and then I heard that the program is actually for Luchasaurus and not Christian, and I was bothered. I was like, I want to see Christian and Wardlow. I don't want to see Luchasaurus and Wardlow.
Why are they doing Christian as a manager?
Maybe he doesn't want to take the bumps because of the neck. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be nice for Wardlow to work with Christian. Can we just only hope and pray to God that Wardlow just destroys Dina? What's the name?
Luchasaurus.
Luchasaurus, yeah. And then just destroys him like in with four power bombs like in seconds, and then leads to like a program with Christian at least.
I think it'd be great for Wardlow to have a program with Christian.
Yeah, I didn't like Arn Anderson's promo either. It's another one that kind of. It's almost like Arn. He's getting older, obviously, and it's just like he's trying to do the same stuff he did, but it's just not. I don't know. It's not connecting with me. It doesn't have the same impact, I guess.
Well, the thing is Arn is trying to do a mid-80s promo, and he's talking about thumbing a guy in the eyeball or biting his thumb off. And it's like, yeah, you know, if we just didn't see a guy get his head bashed in by a screwdriver, yeah, Arn, your stuff is kind of brutal, but not when we just see the screwdriver. It's not brutal anymore.
He should have told Wardlow, look it. You can hit a guy in the eye and be all right with a screwdriver. You can just bite him and scratch him and claw him. And why is Wardlow just beating up job guys now? Why are we going backwards with Wardlow?
They want to get back to where people were doing the Powerbomb Symphony with him.
Well, do we have any guys on the upper level a little bit? The middle, you know, it's kind of like he can kind of destroy. That's not like... You know,
no, man. Juice Robinson needed a tag team partner.
Yeah, he's on Rampage with he's rid of Jay White's now on Rampage. So there you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Hopefully, the show's a little bit better. And you know, this CM Punk stuff. There's gonna be more information. From what I understand, maybe 3 weeks and we'll get the announcement for that show. Andrew Zarin keeps saying mid-May for the announcement for the Collision show. And we'll have more details. But until then, we just have to go with what we know right now. And Andrew Zarin also mentioned that's going to be on TNT. So I wanted to mention Friday afternoon, so after you listen to this, Dave and I are going to be interviewing Steve Kern. I mentioned I was reading the Steve Kern book. Crossing my fingers that, you know, we don't have any technical difficulties. So we're going to talk to Kern. I'm not even going to be halfway done with the book, which is unfortunate. I just got it on like Tuesday. So I'm still trying to rip through it. It's really good. I think you would like love this book.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it. Yeah.
Anybody who's interested in like that 70s and, you know, 80s time frame, I think would love it. And then on Saturday for the Fight Game Media Network, Keela Cash and I are going to break down night one of the WWE draft. And then I interviewed Brian Waters from The Ringer, who does a show with my good buddy Ben Cruz called Wednesday Worldwide. He's also a producer at The Ringer. So got to talk to him. Really good guy. And so that'll be my show for Fight Game Podcast Extra on Saturday. And last week you were kind of talking about a change in the plans for your show, kind of going back into the creative process about what you really love about wrestling. So do you have a little tease for Sunday's show?
Well, Sunday's show, I'm still kind of formatting the way I want to do it. I thought I had it down, but then I don't know. Something kind of came up, and I was like, I gotta dial it in. But I'm gonna talk more detail this week about spring breaking NXT, the issues I saw. I think it's what I was really pissed off. Right? it's not the wrestling, you know. It's not the bell to bell. It's just all that other stuff that's around it. Yeah. I just don't understand what's going on there.
So. All right, we'll be back for John LaRocca. I'm Double G. Next week, see you when we see you. Peace. Out.